Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to speak to you this evening on being approved of God. Being approved of God. I turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, if you'd read there with me. This is a familiar verse. I'm going to translate it a little differently the second time through. I want you to see some truths in it. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Study to show thyself approved. Now, study here does not mean to sit down and get out your reference books and study. It's talking about diligence. In other words, take special care. Give special diligence to show yourself approved. Now, the Greek word here, and this will be the only Greek word in this sermon, so you can take down your defenses. The Greek word here for approved is dokimos. We would spell it D-O-K-I-M-long-O-S, dokimos. And what it means is this. It means a state of being accepted or having been examined and found acceptable, proven, tried, tested, and found to be correct. If Christians, it's used according to Thayer of those who are of tried faith and integrity. Scripture here in 2 Timothy tells us to give special diligence to show ourselves approved unto God. I want to talk to you about being approved unto God. This particular Greek word, this dokimos, is used a lot of times in the papyri, which were letters that were written in Greek around the time of the New Testament. They're not inspired. They're just letters that people mail back and forth. But they tell us a little bit about the Greek language, and it was used a lot with regard to testing metals. You've probably seen in the television programs where a prospector would be grubbing through the dirt and he'd come up with a nugget. The first thing he does is he bites it like this, and then he looks at it. Did you ever wonder what he was doing there? Well, if it was gold, it would be soft enough to dent with his teeth, you see, if it was gold. And so he would test it. And he would test the metal, and then would look at it, and if it was acceptable, put it in his pouch. Take it to town later and sell it. But God says that we're to take special diligence for ourselves to be in a state of tried, tested, proven, examined, and approved after close scrutiny. Now, being proven of God is a threefold point, a threefold effort. First, as I mentioned, refers to trying or testing. Something can't be approved until it's been tested. When they make chain manufacturers have to list a certain test stress on a chain after they've manufactured large chains that hold shift anchors and so forth. So they put in a big hydraulic machine that stretches the chain, and they put one in, they hook both chains up, and they stretch that chain, and they put 1,000 pounds of pressure on it, and then 2,000 pounds and 3,000 pounds, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,000 pounds, until finally, bang, one piece breaks. One of the links breaks. Well, from that test, they know that every other link in that chain will withstand at least 10,000 pounds. And then they certify the chain tested to 10,000 pounds. Well, as Christians, God is going to give us testing, test our endurance, seek to strengthen us so that there'll come a day when He can stamp us certified to 10,000 pounds. This Christian's been through a few things. He could stand up. I tested him. I turned on those hydraulics, and he didn't snap. He's certified, tested. Being proven or approved of God also consists of our very substance. That is, it has to do with what we're made of. And if God tests us, and if He pours us, and He puts us in a hot fire until we're molten, and no slag rises to the top, that's how they refine gold, you know. They melt it, and since gold is heavier than anything else that might be in it, any impurities, all the impurities will float to the surface. And if nothing floats to the surface when you're in the fire, that means you got the right substance and you're pure. So being approved of God has to do with what you're made of. It also has to do with real value in God's sight. In Psalm 135, God calls Israel his peculiar treasure. The idea is that after God has tested a Christian, after God has established what substance he's made of, in that, in the eyes of God, the Christian is of special and peculiar value. And that is what it means to be approved of God. Now, being approved of God by way of priority, goal, and heart's cry has sunken possibly to an all-time low in the world and even in the church these days. And it's gotten a lot more popular to be judged approved of men. But in all the symphony and the disharmony and the chaos and the cataclysm of man's endeavors through the century, one thing remains pure and untainted in my observation, and that is that the judgment of man is faulty to the core. So it doesn't do you a bit of good to seek the approval of man. Let me read a scripture to you. It's in Romans 1, starting in verse 28. Romans 1, 28. I'm going to read down through verse 32, the end of the chapter. Now this is talking about sinful men. It says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient or proper." Now, this is a piece of some of the poorest judgment you could ever imagine. You'll never guess what Greek word is contained in this verse. It's our friend dokimos. But here it's used of ungodly men. It says, "Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge," literally it means, even as after a careful scrutiny and examination of the knowledge of God, they chose not to retain it. So after they beheld the goodness of God, and they saw the truth, saw what it would do for them, instead of the smart prospector, once he decides it's gold, he puts it in his pouch to keep. Threw it away. So it says, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, and that name reprobate is the Greek word adokimos, or not approved, disapproved. So they disapproved God. God said they're going to end up with a disapproved mind. Now, what in the world comes of a disapproved mind? Well, it tells us here in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. If that isn't the most terrible list you can imagine, and that's what you land in when you choose not to approve God in your knowledge, that's the state of mind that people are in the world. And notice that last verse. That's amazing. It says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which do such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That word pleasure is related to the word we've been talking about. It means specifically, they take special delight. My, that is good. And when they see fornication, uncleanness, they're implacable, unmerciful, inventors of evil things, we all go, yee. Who wants anything to do with that? And they say, yeah. I like that. They like that. Reminds me of rotten hamburger, you know. Sometimes you let it sit in the refrigerator for too long, and your wife comes up and puts it in a plastic bag and says, dear, would you take this out to the garbage, please? And so you hold it at arm's length, you walk out to the garbage, and you drop it in, and you set the lid down, and you're glad to be rid of it, aren't you? It'll smell up your house. But then about midnight that night, you're woken up by a ruckus in the alley. The dogs in the neighborhood are fighting over it. They like that. They don't have very good judgment, see? But sinners are in the same boat. They like just what's worst. Just what's the most distasteful in God's sight. So don't seek your approval from man. That's why it says in Luke 6:26. I'm going to read that. It's an interesting scripture. Luke 6:26.
Woe unto you,
when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. If everybody thinks well of you and speaks well of you, you've got real problems as far as God is concerned. And he's pointing up this same thing exactly. Because if everybody thinks you're the greatest, you can't be in God's will. Because ungodly men will disapprove the things of God, and they approve things like false prophets. So you've got real problems. Now, even in the church, and this applies a little more directly to us, this is a little more important part of this message. I'm not going to dwell on it. But you know, it's possible to pursue the things of God with an intent of receiving the approval of men instead of the approval of God. It's possible to minister or to preach or teach or testify or even pray, go about the things of God with the intent of impressing God. It's a trap that Christians have to steer clear of. Now, we should follow the example of mature Christians. And that's not to say that we aren't. But the idea is that we commit our lives as they commit their lives to God and for God so that God can be glorified. And that means you don't look spiritual only when somebody's around. Do you ever? I won't ask you if you ever did that. I'll just tell you something that happened to me. It's happened more than once. You're out and around and you see somebody and they're pretty loose. There are no Christians around. And I'm a plumber. I go around the countryside and do a lot of traveling. I see people out of our own body periodically, you know. Once in a while, you see them snap to attention, and they see you. I used to work with a brother, work construction with him, and one time we were sitting and talking after a job was done. He was up on a ladder, and the boss drove up, and he almost broke his neck climbing off that ladder. You know, he was slouched up on top of it. We were talking. And he snapped down there reaching for his rake, see? The boss saw him. Well, that's the way Christians work it sometimes, too. But you know, it's Jesus that we're here to please. So let God's criteria either commend or reprove us, because man's judgment, even in the church, not specifically this church, but generally in the church world, what everyone approves and says, my, that is spiritual. That was so good. That was so spiritual. Don't be too sure, don't be too quick to grab onto that. A lot of people have actually backslidden because they've been, at least in, as one example, they're saved out of a terrible life of drugs, and because they've got kind of a sensational testimony, somebody will grab a hold of them and haul them around to church to church to church. They give their testimony and people flock to the front and pump their hands and tell them what a fine Christian they are, when in their hearts they're still babes, and people make a big figure out of them until they get so puffed up in their flesh that it's their very death spiritually. So it isn't enough to let man make a hero out of you. Let God do the commending and the complimenting and the approving. I encouraged a band of Jehovah's Witnesses one time. You just can't be sure who's going to encourage who there. You can't trust that. They came to my house. I didn't know anything. I was just newly saved, and I said, well, I just want you to know God's doing a good work, and your work isn't in vain. You know, I patted him on the back and told him how much I respected and appreciated him for going around to the houses, and I was horrified when I found out what I'd done. But every little encouragement for man isn't necessarily accurate, you see. But God knows all things, and he looks on the inward heart, and when God commends us, we can trust that. A lot of times, fleshly manifestation in the spirit, dancing in the flesh, all kinds of things, and you can fill in the blanks. A lot of times people will make they'll compliment you on that and tell you how wonderful it was, but it wasn't necessarily wonderful. And while there's a lot of praising and hand waving and clapping and jumping around going down here, if you could go up to heaven and see, now I'm going to use an earthly analogy here, if you could see God's shipping and receiving clerk in heaven, who receives the sacrifices of praise and who sends down, this is really a rough analogy I'm beginning to see now, sends down the praise of the blessing of God and the power of God. If you went up there and asked him, have you had any shipments of praise and blessing? Have you smelled any sweet incense lately from such and such a church? They say they're sending a lot. And he might just look up and say, well, look at his calendar and say, well, we had a little something a couple weeks ago, but nothing lately. Well, have you shipped anything out? Well, they're still working on the minimum invoice. Nothing much really going on, you see. But everybody's applauding and talking about what a marvelous work is taking place. Well, you can't always trust, even in the church, the judgment of man. Now, in an assembly where you have wise leadership, you're not in that danger. You're not in danger of pursuing something that and told it's good when it isn't really good. If you have wise leadership, they're going to see that you offer spiritual and truthful worship, and that's good. Look at Matthew 6:1. Matthew 6:1. Mature leadership won't complement your fleshly behavior, but the truth still remains, and it applies in this assembly as well as any other body of Christians. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now it doesn't say, take heed that ye do not your alms, or religious service of any kind, nor did it say, take heed that ye do not your alms before men. If you're going to serve God, you're going to be seen of men. But it did say, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. So that your intent is not to impress men, but to fulfill your obligation and covenant with God. Look at 1 Peter 4:10-11. 1 Peter 4:10-11. The truth of this thing lies in this scripture, I think, is well stated. 1 Peter 4:10-11, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If I could paraphrase Paul here, where is boasting in light of this? Because you received it from God, and you simply minister what you received, and there's nothing to glory in that, since it's the treasure that God has put in your life that you minister. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified in Jesus Christ, to whom praise and dominion be forever and ever. Amen. Don't seek the approval of men, seek to glorify God. But now I want to answer a question. What exactly will God approve? What will God look at in our lives and say, I accept this? What substance are we to be made of? What is God looking for? Well, I'll give you a hint. See if you can answer this question. Who is all that is good and precious and true and glorious in all the world of creation and things beyond? Who's that? You're not as smart as I thought you were. Well, it's God, of course. And the point is this. God basically looks for himself in you when he examines you. He looks for the fruit of his Spirit, those things that he himself has produced in our lives. All of us who are good ground, who receive the water, who receive the seed, allowed it to grow within us. There's nothing good in us, it's the fruit of the Spirit that's good. When God looks at us and he begins to examine, he looks for the love of God. And it's important to God that he receive reciprocal love from us. When he picks up that precious gem and he looks at it, he wants to see himself reflected back. He wants to receive beauty and glory and love from us as his vessels. He looks for unfeigned delight in him so that we can sing from our hearts, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. He means more than life to me. You ever hear that song? All that thrills my soul, unfeigned love, love from an honest heart, joy of the Holy Spirit. You know what's in God's plan and intent, and God approves of our joy. God intends that. As a matter of fact, it grows out of spiritual communion with God. It's a natural outcome. Peace. Peace in our hearts is delightful to God because God Himself put it there. It's God's will and God's way. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All these things God looks for us when He desires to approve us and say, this is an approved servant. This servant is tested. He's of proper quality. He's of true value. He's a special value to me, a peculiar treasure. Secondly, when God looks at us with the intent of approving us or disapproving us, what He looks for is His own image through Jesus Christ. The idea is that Jesus, as a firstborn among many brethren, was the great prototype. He was approved of God, and that was proven by His resurrection from the dead. After He sacrificed for our sins, God accepted that sacrifice as being worthy to pay for the sins of the world, and God approved Christ, took Him up into glory and glorified Him and set Him at His right hand, and we're to be conformed to the same image that we might be approved as Jesus was approved. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're changed into the same image of Christ Himself by the Spirit of the Lord. When God looks at you on the last day when you stand before the throne, He's going to say, do I see Jesus standing in that vessel? Are you poured out and is Jesus poured in? Can you say like Christ, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me? James 1:2, blessed is the man that endures temptation. Now this word temptation is testing, like stretching the chains. Blessed is the man that endures testing, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. That doesn't mean he's going to receive the crown of life when he's tested specifically. It's the same Greek word, dokimos, here for tried. When he is tried, that is when he is examined closely and approved because he's of the proper substance, strength, and value. When he's tried, when he's approved, he's going to receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. So one of these days there's going to come a day in heaven where God is going to pick up Debbie Kaufman. He's going to say, Debbie, you're 24 karat. I've tested you. I've refined you. I've tested your strength. And now, after close scrutiny, you're a special value to me. Enter into the joy of your master. George Boker. I don't see one speck in that diamond. Not one shadow. When I hold it to the light, it sparkles all the colors of the rainbow. Not a bit of impurity. Son George, you're a special value to me. You're tried and proved and approved. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Judy Rao, Marlene Lewis, Lynn Hawkins, I heard your sacrifice of praise, and it wasn't a jangling in my ears. It was a sweet melody. Satisfied my heart. You were tested, and the fruit you bore was the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Nadine Lyle, as a vessel I held you up, I tapped you, and you rang true like the purest crystal. I tested you, and I found you pure and true and good. Maureen Moore, Ezra Costello, Nick Lembo, Linda McKinney, perfect vessels. Your color is true. Your prayers as a sweet incense. Your sacrifice is an stench in my nostril. Satisfies me. It's a blessing to your Heavenly Father. I've examined you. You're made of the right substance. You're able to stand testing. You're of special value to God. He approves you. I'm going to keep this one. I'm going to keep this one. You're a peculiar treasure. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Wouldn't you like to be approved of God? Wouldn't you like that? Isn't it better than being approved of men? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Oh, hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I pray you to speak to the hearts here tonight. God, these are thy people that love thee dearly. Come to this place to worship and glorify you. Their hearts are open. Father, I pray you would seal in their heart this truth. We need to be approved of God. Seek thy approval. Go through testing. Endure it as a good soldier of the cross. God, I pray you to seal it in our hearts. We need to seek God's commendation above all else. All we do should glorify Jesus so that when we stand before you, you're going to be able to say that we're pure and without blemish, of good strength, tested and true, Christians of integrity, sons of the King, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to invite music ministry to come forward. Let you remain standing. Hallelujah. I'm going to close the service in just a minute.